The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Mo is on the hot seat with Plead the Fifth coming up in just a couple of minutes. Friday. I like Friday. Friday is great.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
Friday is unanimous. What do you got going on this weekend?
Probably go see my mom.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
All right. How about
she's in New York.
Abby's taking off also.
Yeah, I'm literally leaving straight from here to go to the airport, and I'm going to Jacksonville for the weekend for a doctor's appointment, but also, you know, it's Mother's Day, so probably should see the old parents. We're going out on a boat tonight, which should be fun, in St. Augustine. Yeah. Tomorrow, we're just going to kind of bop around and then I think go out to dinner, and then Sunday I'll be back.
Super fun.
So fun.
Here's how you know you're getting older. The highlight of my weekend, at least the first part of the weekend, is I have a sleep study tonight that I'm going to.
The one that you said you had last week?
Yeah, I thought I had it last week, but I got the date wrong.
You know, if you get better sleep, you might have a better memory.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, so I'm supposed to just go down to Northside tonight around 8:30. They hook you up to a whole bunch of different electrodes and stuff, and then you sleep. And then you wake up in the morning, and they're like, yeah, you suck at sleeping. And then they try to figure out exactly how to fix that. I'm really excited about that, man. I'm trying to get this thing figured out. And then for Mother's Day on Sunday, I'm taking Amanda to Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God, that'll be so fun.
Yeah, she's a huge fan. So I'm like, you know what? Let's do that. So we're going to do that on Sunday. What do you got?
I have nothing. Oh, not nothing today. It's the Mother's Day lunch with Jimmy at his school. Cute. So I will go over there to his preschool and get the gift that Miss Kelly had the class made for all the moms, and we will have lunch together. And then nothing the rest of the day. I got nothing on Saturday, which is glorious.
Beautiful.
And then Sunday, I have planned out my perfect Mother's Day that I'm going to share later and see if Bart and Jimmy can provide.
Nice. I was thinking about you yesterday because I went over to go see our friends Molly and Joel and their baby. How old is baby Joni now? Just a couple of months, right? 6 months,
six to seven months,
right? So, and they have her in daycare for just a couple hours a day.
Oh, she's like five. She was born in December, so 6 months.
All right. So they were saying yesterday, I was thinking of you saying that May is such a stressful month because there's so much going on. And I also heard Cassie in my head as well. I think you were talking about different themes and stuff that constantly schools and teachers are putting on the kids now. And baby Joni, it's 7 months old. Her daycare had a are having themes now.
Oh, absolutely not.
Seven months old,
that's,
man.
That's a little too early.
They did that when Hazel was 3 months. Like, there was a quick period between me giving birth and then everyone, you know, the world shutting down for COVID where she was at daycare. Same thing.
I mean,
it's insane.
I think the sentiment is nice. Like, I guess it's nice.
No, it's not.
But it's not. It's more, I would think for a 7 month old, it's more stressful to try to figure out what you're going to put your kid in for that theme than it is the fun for the child who will never remember this.
Yeah, no, I'm not participating in that.
Is it for the pictures? Because the kid is clearly not going to know what's happening.
Do they even do pictures on a theme day like that?
I mean, yeah, where Jimmy goes, yeah, they take pictures and upload them to an app. Like, we have an app for the school, and so they're constantly posting pictures of everything they're doing. If they, like, they have farm animals visit the school, and they, you know, Jimmy was brushing a goat, so I got a picture of that.
You know what her theme day was? Purple. Put your kid in purple. Molly and Joel are like, I don't have purple.
Nobody has purple. Dude, I met an absolute hero of a mom recently, which I was lamenting to her about this trifold board presentation that Hazel had to do. And she's like, yeah, we just don't do that. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, we just don't do that stuff. I mean, so this kid is not, their kids aren't in like school. It's like pre-K and stuff. She's like, yeah. We're just out of town, or we just don't do it. And they'll reach out and they'll be like, is so-and-so doing homework? And she's like, no. And I'm like, I want to be you when I grow up. You are incredible.
All right, so it's Mo's turn to be in the hot seat. We call it Plead the Fifth. We have all submitted uncomfortable questions for Mo. He's allowed to wuss out and say, you know what? I'll take the plead on one of these questions. But he likes to go through all of them.
I do. Never wussed out before. Won't happen today either. Let's do it.
Five super uncomfortable questions for Mo.
He can only pass on one of them.
It's the Burt Show's
Plead the Fifth.
I don't think I've ever heard a more unenthusiastic let's do it than I just heard.
You want me to be excited about this?
No. It was just verbally obvious.
Yeah, it was like a let's get it over list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bert, Chris, and Abby, let's climb aboard the ladder. Head up to that platform because we're about to dive into Mo's soul.
Nope. Wow. How long did it take you to come up with this?
Is there some serious questions?
The ChatGPT line.
No, it's not. That's a Tommy GPT line.
You should have blamed it on ChatGPT.
You saw the visual, though. We're all on that platform together, about to dive. Here we go, Mo. Question number one. What effects from the relationship with your birth dad are you still working out as an adult?
Deep.
Told you.
Deep.
Diving into a soul.
It's a good question.
For those that don't know the history, you want to just give them 30 seconds of it?
It was a pretty abusive relationship for about a year of my life when I decided to go live with him. Just super, super physically, mentally, and emotionally abusive. That was pretty much the rundown of it.
Now, later in life, you guys circled back and things are cool now.
Yeah, I would say as I got into like my early 20s, we started to kind of put the relationship back together, and we've been solid ever since. And I've reached a place with him I honestly never thought I could. I didn't even think it was possible. But we're here now. But lingering effects, I think when you come into the world when you're that age and the person who you feel like is supposed to be your protector and is supposed to be the person that, you know, is the one to keep you from pain, is actually causing the pain and a lot of pain, I think you kind of carry that forever. I think it's difficult to ever feel accepted. It's difficult to ever trust. It's difficult to ever, I guess, see life in a way that you probably should see life, because the one person you thought would always protect you the most is the person that caused you the most pain.
Amanda and I were just talking about this the other day. It's maddening sometimes. I don't know if you get to this place, but there are times where I get to it, because you guys know how I grew up. My parents sucked. It angers me sometimes that the effect of my childhood is still affecting me all these years later. It's just like there's some regret, some resent there still.
Yeah, I think it was always tough to accept it and to not be angry at it. I was angry for the longest of times because why? Like, why me? Why him? Why did he do it? But I think at some point I just accepted that he was where he was in his life. And it happened the way it happened. There's nothing either one of us can do. And I've decided to move on. But once you accept it, I think it becomes a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But it's always there.
All right. We're in Mo's soul. The water is warm.
Yeah, I felt like two questions.
I don't know, I'm kind of cold.
Are you ever truly at peace? And if so, when?
Vacation. That's it. That's the only time.
Doing nothing or doing stuff on vacation or just sitting there with your thoughts?
Either one.
Yeah.
Just being away.
Yeah, just being away from it all of the pressures, all of the responsibilities, people pulling at you. You know, you always wondering if you're doing right, if you're not. I think when I go on vacation, I have learned. It took a while. It wasn't always like this on vacation, but I've eventually learned that when I go on vacation, all of that's just not there. For a week or for whatever the time is, I am just completely in the moment and only focused on that, and those are the best times of my life by far.
Do you guys think most people are like that? That there's no peace until you're just, like, away?
I think some people even still struggle having peace on vacation. Like you're thinking, oh God, I'm away from everything where I know I have control of my life and I'm not looking at my Wi-Fi and I'm looking at my email. Mm-hmm. I think some people have a hard time with that too.
I get antsy after about 4 days. Like I'll have peace, then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be stressed.
See, that's funny because I'm antsy out the gate and it takes me 4 days until I can finally like get settled.
Oh yeah.
It's very, very, very hard for me to relax on vacation.
As soon as you relax is over?
Yep.
All right. Halfway point. Question number three. What is one part of white culture you'd never admit to liking out of fear of losing your black card?
That's funny.
What is what is one that I don't know if I would fear losing my black card. I would say Nickelback, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to come out pretty strong with that one.
I was trying to think of something better, but probably Nickelback.
What do you like least about working in morning radio?
By the time you got to get up.
Yeah. Morning.
The morning. The morning part of it. Yeah. For
the
sure.
radio part, not bad. The morning part, that sucks.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah.
Abby and I were talking about this before you guys got in today. These hours, if you're up this early listening live, your circadian rhythms are so jacked up that you can't, your sleep patterns mess up everything. It jacks with your health so much. She's having problems. I'm going to do this sleep study tonight. Just these hours right here make the whole day tough.
It's rough on the quality of life. Even when, like, some days I get up and it's not so bad, the actual waking up part, but even, like, at night when you get the anxiety because you know you got to go to sleep and you're worried about it, it definitely gets in the way.
This is also the toughest time of year because it's, like, bright at 8:30 p.m. You hear kids outside and you're, like, in bed. Like, what am I doing?
Under the blanket like a loser.
Yeah. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but you think, oh, you'll get used to it. You'll figure something out. I'm, like, 20 years in and I still, like, have the hardest time getting up in the morning.
Amen.
Have you ever, this is the last question, by the way. Have you ever considered leaving the Burt Show and all these whiteys to go work for a predominantly black show?
All these whiteys?
I may have added that.
Okay.
Yes, I've considered it, but obviously never did it. That's it. That's the answer.
Do you remember at what point? Like, was there a triggering point on the show or was
after Live Like a Woman week?
Definitely the first one. Yeah, that was the first time for sure.
When you and I had to put dresses on.
Yeah, but the dresses was rough. That was a rough time.
You all did look beautiful in your bridal wear, though.
Thank you. Yeah,
and you said yes to the dress, which is very exciting.
But the dress said no to me.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Time to get
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Rihanna fans have been patient. Very patient. Then she steps out on the Met Gala red carpet with a big baby bump, and all of them went, we're never getting the album. We're never getting the album. But
you might get a lullaby album, but you ain't getting any other kind of album.
Is there so much buildup on and so much want for this album that if and when she ever does one, will it ever meet expectations?
I think about that a lot. And I think it's I think you're onto something. I think it's one of those things where no matter how good that album is, it's just not going to be worth all of the weight and the hype that people have surrounded it with, even if it's good. Because it's kind of like their Super Bowl performance. People were disappointed because it was so much hype, but it was good.
Yeah, it's not really fair to her because she's not the one that's created any hype.
It's true.
It's like it's literally her, you know, the Rihanna army that has created all this hype. You don't think that maybe people will just be so grateful to have a little snippet of music that they'll just be grateful for whatever they get?
People? Grateful?
Yeah. I mean, she did a Smurf song. What more do you want from
her? Listen, if she could just do a flute like Andre and I would be satisfied. That'd be cool.
No, and I honestly wonder how becoming a mother is going to change her musical style too. Because like I was listening to Rihanna yesterday while I was working out and it was that Breaking Dishes song. I was like, oh, this is sexy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is Rihanna, now that she has kids, like is she going to feel comfortable putting out music that is, you know, kind of more salacious, or is she going to play it more safe now that she has kids out in the world and she's maybe thinking like, oh, they're going to be hearing this in the next couple of years?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like most artists kind of compartmentalize and realize that, you know, they are artists at the end of the day as well as being a mother, but she might be so embedded in being a mother that it would affect her music.
Yeah, and I think the most effective stuff, the best stuff comes out when you're being authentic. So she just might not feel like that anymore. Now she feels it's a very different part of her life and she's not growing with her audience, then it might be a real disconnect.
Well, I know she's 38, right? And you're a very different person at like 22 than you are at 38. And there's like this Madonna whore complex or whatever. And people think once you become a mother that you lose all your sexuality, which is not true. But I do think with age comes certain changes, whether you want to call it maturity or you just evolve into a different, you know, you're constantly evolving, that maybe the sexy stuff isn't your jam and you'd rather focus on something else.
Yeah. Well, thank God she said that it's not going to delay her album, although I feel like she's been teasing this album for a really long time. She says it might delay a couple of the music videos, but she says she can still sing. But what we're learning from ASAP Rocky is more information about their child that they're going to be having, their third kid. So they already have two children, RZA and Riot. And he was asked on the Seth Meyers show, Late Night with Seth Meyers, about the name of their next kid. He said, your first two kids have R names, which obviously you and Rihanna also have R names because ASAP Rocky's given name is Rakim Mayers. And so they already have a full family of R names. So they're like, of course, you're going to have another R name. And he said, for sure. So I asked ChatGPT if they had to take some guesses on what they're going to name their next kid, because obviously ChatGPT knows all. These are the guesses that AI came up with. So they said Rebel Ray, continuing the R theme with a hint of attitude and a unisex vibe. The next one, Rumi Rogue. It's artistic and poetic, yet still cool and defiant.
Beyonce has a child named Rumi.
Oh, yeah, you could never, yeah. And then the last one, Rhythm Rain. It's musical and atmospheric. So these are the options according to, according to AI.
I would go Rebel.
I would go Rebel, too.
Yeah.
I think Rebel sounds really good with RZA and Riot as well. So
when you name your kid Rebel, you better be prepared for what you get.
That's third child energy.
Right?
First child, it's like, okay, like you're very type A. By the time you get to the third one,
see,
you're a Rebel.
Tom and Rita Hanks, they learned. You name your kid Chet, you don't get Chet.
Yeah. Right. A third kid is just lucky to have a name.
All right, former Glee star Lea Michele is finally dispelling a bizarre rumor about her.
This is so funny.
It started on set years ago. I'm going to explain it on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All she wants is her dream Mother's Day, and I think you have set this thing up so well, it's almost impossible not to get it.
And I'm endorsing this. Like, putting this together already filled my heart with so much joy. And Cassie and I were talking on the way in. I don't know if it's just my algorithm on Instagram, and I am just kind of in my little bubble, but it feels like this year more than ever, more moms just want to be left alone.
Yeah. Maybe it's your group of friends are at a certain age now and their kids are a certain age.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But so this is the email I have crafted for my adoring, loving husband, right? And this is going to be my perfect Mother's Day, if it can come to fruition, okay? So, to Barton Mattingly, here's my request for Mother's Day, which, sidebar, is this Sunday. Sleep in until 10 a.m. and I want to be transparent, he normally lets me sleep in on the weekends, which is lovely of him.
You can sleep till 10 in the morning?
Easily.
On weekends?
Easily.
I wish.
Yeah.
Right?
The dream. Sleep in until 10 a.m. At 10 a.m., a small cappuccino and pan au chocolat from Alain's Bakery will be delivered in bed to me by he and Jimmy. Now, they don't have stevia at Alain's, so I'll need one from our stash downstairs. And Alain's also doesn't warm their baked goods, so please heat up the chocolate croissant for approximately 7 seconds.
What happens if you go to 8 seconds?
It gets a little hard.
Oh. That's never a good thing.
Really? I didn't think it could. I never thought that was a bad thing.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I don't like my croissants hard. Yeah. Everything else, fine. My croissant, no. Oh,
got it.
All right, then from 10 to 11:30, I'm going to lay in bed, sipping my cappuccino, eating my pan au chocolat. I'm going to binge Top Chef because I just realized that the new season that's from Canada is out, and I'm going to scroll Instagram and do my Mother's Day post, okay? So that's from 10 to 11:30. Then at 12:30, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do yoga. At 1:30, when yoga is done, I'm going to go next door to detox, and I'm going to get my smoothie. I always get the milkshake, 16 ounce. I no longer add protein because it hurts my tum-tum. All right, then I'm going to come home. At 1:45, I'm going to take a shower by myself.
Huge.
When? I'm going to wash my hair. I'm going to do all the things. And then at 2:30, I will be accepting gifts. So,
is there a throne that they need to?
Nope. Okay. I will come downstairs because I also made sure to factor in time. Typically, Bart gets the gifts the day of, which is fine. I know this about him. So while I'm at yoga, while I'm getting my smoothie, he and Jimmy can go to Pike Nurseries. They can get my peony plant or they can make the homemade card, whatever, right? Like I'm trying to.
Yeah, I mean, you're working with him here. I mean, you're trying to make this as easy for him in a very hard situation.
So at 2:30, gifts. So a peony plant from Jimmy and a homemade card. That's all I want as far as gifts go.
Okay. Simple.
That is it. Then at 3:00, I am bouncing by myself. I'm going to Bistro Nico so I can sit on the patio and enjoy a croque madame with also the side salad and a Saint Germain special, and I'm going to read my book.
Ooh.
It's actually supposed to be a light drizzle on Sunday, which would be perfection.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
All right, then when I'm done doing that, I'm going to go across the street to Treat Your Feet to do a little foot massage. At 6, I will be coming home where a chilled glass of Sauvignon Blanc will be waiting for me. At 7:30, instead of me doing bedtime routine, Bart will handle bath and bedtime. And then at 8:00, I will be in bed to binge more Top Chef and scroll on Instagram. Most importantly, the biggest caveat, I don't want to make one decision all day long. Don't ask me a question about anything. This is my perfect Mother's Day.
I think it is very granular.
Yes.
I mean, so it is right there in black and white for everybody to see.
Yes, you don't have to read between the lines and nothing. I wrote everything out.
I think this for specifically Bart is absolutely perfect.
I think so too.
I think he's so good, thorough. He's thorough.
He
so
is.
Let's take the guesswork out of it. Mm-hmm. Woman, just tell me what you want. There it is.
Yeah, and if you have a man similar to Bart that, like, listen, I mean, they are wonderful, fantastic human beings. I mean, again, I acknowledge I have a gem of a human. The fact that he gets up with me every morning and sees me off to work, are you kidding me? Like, I know how lucky I am. And just on days like this, taking the guesswork out of it because that's not his forte, hey, I am more than happy to do something like this to ensure I get the day of my dreams.
I feel like if this was sports, you would be like the offensive coordinator. Right. All the players got to do is execute.
That's going it. Straight to the championship.
Yeah. I think this is a personality thing. So, Cassie, if you were doing the same thing here, would this work for Chad and for you or no?
It would work. No, it wouldn't work for us. No, it would not.
Why? Just different personalities?
Yeah, well, I think if I gave something like that and then there was one thing that wasn't done correctly, it would make me mad. No. Which I understand is like very high maintenance, but I'd be like, I went to the work of spelling it out for you and you microwaved the croissant for 8 seconds instead of 7. Like, it was literally written down. But also, I think And I love this. Like, I want that Mother's Day, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to plan out my Mother's Day. I just want it to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm good with the kids and then some alone time. We'll do a little both. But I like the surprise element of it.
Okay.
I don't need surprises. I just want what I want.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
The Burt Show.
So Abby's starting to wonder if she's a bad friend.
Not me specifically, but I think this is kind of a thing that women kind of go through when you lose a friendship or you move on past a friendship. Is there's a lot of shame around women not having like these lifelong friends. I think you hear a lot about like these people having friendships of 20 and 30 years. And if you can look back and go, well, my oldest friend is like, you know, only 4 years old. There can be a lot of shame around that. So this week on my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, which is on Burt's Pioneer Network, we actually had a friendship breakup episode, which is a little different because normally it's usually about someone cheating on someone with, you know, their professor or whatever. It's a lot of like romantic scandals. But this year or this week was all about a friendship breakup where a friendship had ended after 30 years. And it was so crazy, the timing of how this happened, because I had just seen this clip on Mel Robbins's podcast with someone I had already interviewed on my podcast like weeks ago. So I was like, I got there first. Mel Robbins interviewed someone that I already interviewed. Her name is Danielle Byard Jackson. And she focuses a lot on female friendships and just those complicated dynamics. And I was able to kind of quote something she had said in this interview about feeling shame around losing a friendship that had lasted that long. But actually, in this podcast episode with Mel Robbins, Danielle said that most people actually cycle out through their friendships about every 7 years.
Women replace about half of their friends every 7 years.
Yeah. So men and women. There's research that finds that we replace half of our friends every 7 years. Huh. I hope that makes people feel a little less ashamed if they have friendships that don't work out. Because what that says to me is that there's this natural pruning that happens throughout your life. I also hope that has people release any shame around needing to make new friends. Because I hear people say, I'm out here making friends at 42. I should have had all my friends from high school. Really? Because I know some of the friends I had in high school, it would not be appropriate for us to still be friends. It wouldn't make sense to where I am right now or the values I have right now. And so if we are, you know, dropping or shedding new friends every 7 years, that means we need to be picking up new ones. Because what does that churn rate look like? How am I positioning myself to invite new friendships into my life?
Yeah, so making friends isn't something that you just do in high school once and you never think about again, but it's a skill that needs to be honed over and over again. And so when I heard that, when I was able to share that information with the person I interviewed, I felt like there was so much comfort in that, because I think women can sometimes, like I said, there's just a lot of shame around women who lose friendships. Like sometimes like women will even pit friends against each other, and it can really just make you look like you're the bad guy if there's a friendship that ended. And I think it's just a really comforting thing to know that that's something you need to consistently do throughout your life. And it's something that everybody is going through. It's not just you. There's not something wrong with you because every 7 years or however long you move past your friends, that's a normal part of life, and you're a part of the majority.
You guys, do this real quick. Break out your phones and go to your photos, because I just did this as you were talking about it. Very interested. And then I went back 7 years and started looking at the pictures that I was taking with friends.
What year is that?
2018. And I was taking a look, just scrolling really quickly on the pictures that I had socially with friends and comparing them with what I have now. And when I'm looking at these pictures from back there, A, man, have I aged. B, there's a picture of me with Charlamagne the God. Oh, look at that.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, flex a little harder.
Y'all still friends?
Well, if by friends you mean I still have his phone number and I've never used it. But I'm looking at these pictures and it's spot on, man. I am not hanging out with 3/4 of the people that I was hanging out with that year. That's crazy.
It's wild, right?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, like all my photos from 2018, like are in college. And I think naturally everyone kind of moves on past that phase of their life and sort of the people in it too. But like, I still have a picture with my best friend from college who's seeing me next weekend. So that's comforting.
This is interesting. There are people that
We're still friends, but we don't necessarily see each other or hang out because our lives went into different directions. But does that still count? Like, we're still, it's not like we had a fallout.
Right.
You just kind of moved past it. Like, you wouldn't consider someone, like, if you're going to have a birthday party, you don't know if you necessarily invite them.
Got you. Right. You're just not in, it's not like a connective, intimate relationship anymore.
Yeah.
There's a couple, there's one in here for sure that we had a fallout. And it was a group of his friends that I won't get into it. But yet most of the people that year, I am not still hanging out with. Mm. You?
Only one.
Only one. Mm-hmm. Only one what?
Person that I'm not hanging out with.
Yeah?
But,
same.
Yeah.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about 80% of my friends I've been friends with over 20 years. The two friends I did lose, I have done a lot of self-reflecting and wondered if it were me, but for the most part, all of my friends have pretty much been long-term. Mm-hmm.
However, I really do like this idea that you can continue, because it makes sense, like you continue to grow, and we talk about like in relationships, you want to grow together, and you continue, Bert, you always say, fall in like with the person that you're with, mm-hmm. and so why would that not extend to friends? And some of them will grow with you, and some will grow apart, and there's no right or wrong, but it is refreshing to hear someone else be like, at 42, yeah. I'm still making friends. And you're like, oh yeah, I didn't, everything I did in my early life doesn't have to dictate the rest of my life. Like, I can build the life I want now for the person who I am now.
Yeah, so if you have friends that have lasted 20 years, good for you, but you're not the majority.
Tell people where they can find your podcast.
You can listen to The Breakup Breakdown wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And again, it's on Burt's Network Pioneer.
The Burt Show.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ooh, it's going to be an exciting week on the Burt Show next week. We told you yesterday that if you're watching Love on the Spectrum, like Abby and I are obsessed with this show. By the way, I found the episode that I hadn't watched, and I watched it.
Oh, the final one?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's so cute.
Dude, it's so freaking good.
It's not next week. It's the week after.
What? It's not next Tuesday? It's the Tuesday after that?
Yes.
Ah, damn it.
Sorry. Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Sorry. Damn it's 5:20. I'm sorry.
That's the day Connor's coming in.
That's disappointing.
Way to just build us up to break us down.
I know, right?
I didn't want you to sit there and tell everybody he's coming in next Tuesday and then he doesn't show.
The one last night, what's the name of the girl that has the girlfriend and they had their first kiss?
Oh, Pari.
Oh my God, it was so cute.
The fact that she's obsessed with the public transportation in Boston is so relaxed. I'm like, you know what? I would feel the exact same way about Marta if Marta could take you more than like four places.
Just another 30 seconds on this, and I swear we are not getting paid to endorse this show. Abby and I it is our heart. It's joy. It's 45 minutes of pure joy, which is what this country needs.
Yes.
Right now,
yeah,
right?
What the world needs.
Explain exactly what it is.
Love on the Spectrum is sort of like this docuseries, and it follows a handful of people in their 20s and 30s that are dating, but they're all on the autism spectrum. And it's just really cool to see them date in the same ways that everybody else dates. But because of their diagnosis, they tend to be a little bit more candid and honest about their experience. And it's just really refreshing and fun to watch. And you're literally watching people fall in love in real time, which is one of the reasons I've fallen in love with it. Like, just seeing them be so honest about their experience and getting to see, like, their eyes light up and just see, like, love happen in the moment is so fun.
What I love about it is there is no inner voice. So anything that they are feeling during a date or anything that they are feeling, the excitement, the worry about having a first kiss is out loud, right? Yeah. They're literally telling their date that after the kiss, how excited they are and what the experience was like. They can't hold it in. So they are literally, like, talking to themselves about how excited they are, even though the person they kissed is right in front of them. It's adorable.
And the reason why we've been so excited about Connor, other than the fact that he lives in Atlanta, so he's going to get to come in the studio, is he fell in love this season, and he was so candid about, like, when he fell in love with Georgie, like, when he walked off, and he's like, where have you been all my life?
Made me cry.
Oh, my God. And then he has his first kiss on camera, and he's so nervous, and you have this moment where she, like, comforts him. It's just, it's really
precious. It's really great. Okay, so they're not in next week.
No.
Him and his mom, who's great on the show. The whole family is great. They're on the week after.
Correct.
I could tell you who is on with us next week because I just got done texting with her or messaging with her. Heather McMahon is going to join us next week.
Stop! Yeah!
Yay! 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 Yay!
Way to go! In studio?
I don't know. I just asked her that.
Okay.
So
that would be, I mean, incredible. I mean, I'll take her on the phone, but having her in studio,
I know.
I'd lose my ass.
If you guys don't know who Heather McMahon is, man, are you missing out? She is an entertainer, I guess you could call her stand-up comedian, but she's so much more than that, man. And she's from Atlanta, lives in Atlanta, and it's just her whole story. And I guess at the core of it, she's a stand-up comedian, but she's just an amazing entertainer.
Yeah, I saw her live last November for her special that recently came out. Like, the special came out a year later. I was like, I forgot they recorded this. We weren't front row, but we were close to it. So I watched it to selfishly see if I was in it. I'm not, but that's great.
She's traveling all over the country right now doing tours. She's got a show coming up in Atlanta also. And if tickets are available and you don't have them, you're missing out. You should go to a show like that. Anyway, she's coming in. Anyway, we'll talk to her next week.
Awesome.
I'm working out the details with her.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, so let me run this one by you, or let Kristen run this one by you here. So you're engaged, and your fiance comes to you and says, hey, are you cool if I just get closure with my ex?
Correct. So I'm going to paint the picture for you. I saw this video on Natural Selection_. And the video is a guy, he's sitting in the car in the driver's seat, and he's filming. And he's filming outside the car, and it's dark, and there's a woman and a man standing outside of a house, and they are embracing. And the caption within the video says, my fiance needed to get closure with her ex before we got married. Heart emoji. So, yes, she went to her fiance and said, hey, before we get married, before I walk down the aisle, I really need to get closure with my ex. So the two of them drove over to his house. He sat in the car while she got out and had a conversation with her ex to get closure. Now, this is what you're going to hear is her getting back in the car and her fiance talking about the closure.
How was it, baby?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it was good closure for me and for him. And, hopefully we can be friends in the future.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think he's going to be happy.
Now we could worry about our future.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, baby.
Love you.
I'm so excited.
Can I get McDonald's?
Of course.
We get McDonald's.
All right. Where do we want to go with this?
I want you to chew on this, and I want you to put yourself in his position. Your fiance comes to you and says, hey, before we get married, I need to go get closure with an ex. Are you driving your fiance over to the ex's house and sitting there watching them have this emotional conversation? And then your fiance's getting in the car, emotional, over said closure. How would you receive that?
I think I got a couple of questions here because I'm trying to lean. Maybe it's because we have a new pope. I'm trying to lean.
You feel closer to God now because he's American?
I'm trying to lean into kindness here. I think that should have happened before we got engaged.
You think?
Like if Amanda would come to me and she'd say, like, yeah, she needed some closure with an ex, I don't know that I would drive her to it. But I would certainly give her that space because as a guy that wants to spend the rest of his life with her, that door needs to be closed and I need to know it's shut and there is absolutely no oxygen in that room at all.
You don't want to be there driving her to it, present, making sure.
I got other things to do.
Okay.
But her, could you imagine the anxiety you would feel for the couple of hours that she or he would be with their ex while they're closing the door, while you're waiting for them at home to see what she's going to say when she walks in the door, like, I still have feelings for him. Or it's absolutely, oh, I can't even imagine. Has anybody listening ever been in this situation? 1-855-BIRCHOW.
Not only do you need to have the conversation before we get engaged, you need to have the conversation before you get with me. If you feel that strongly about someone to where you are sobbing about whether or not you can be friends with someone, you should have never been dating me in the first place. If you are hung up on somebody else, do not date me. Talk to your therapist or your ex. Don't date me.
Yeah, I'm not strong enough. No way I could do it. You know, it's like when you watch those shows that take place in jail, and because there's so much security, you have to close one door before you can go through the second one. Yeah. That's how I see relationships. Like, before you even open this one, that should be done already. And if I do find the strength somehow, some way, because I love you so much to take you over there, don't get back in the car crying. Like, don't get back in the
car.
That's
the thing for me.
Down.
She was so emotional.
Yes. Better be happy tears, like.
Right.
You're so happy that door is close and you realize the tremendous mistake you made being with him in the first place. Those are the only tears.
I don't know. All I got from that analogy was that you see relationships as jail. You're in jail.
You know what? It might have been a better analogy than I thought.
So let's say your lady comes to you now. You are head over heels over her. I mean, you have told us that day in and day out, right? And she comes to
you. I'm going
to
save that for her. That should do well for me.
And she comes to you and she says, you know what? There's still something in my mind and my heart about my ex. How do you feel about me having a conversation with him about it, just closing the door? Even now, you got all this history behind you and you're already in love.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about it?
I would walk away.
You would walk away.
1,000%. I mean, it would at least be a break. It would be one of those, like, you go ahead and figure that out. It's there for some reason. I don't know the reason. I'm not interested in the reason. But go figure it out, because we won't be able to move forward and be authentic if you still have that lingering, but I'm not going to sit around for it.
And is one conversation with the ex really going to shut the door immediately?
I don't think so.
Dude, let me just say, he got blasted in the comments.
Did he? read some.
One person was just like, major heartbreak ahead. She's still in love with that guy. Somebody just posted a bajillion red flags. Bianca B, what are we doing, bro? Legendary Star Lord, he said goodbye for now. Dude, she went there to make him jealous. If he had told her to stay, she would have left. Red flag. Closure, should have done that way before you found somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, and then my Tony East LA 1977. WTF, this dude is a ding dong.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I was worried if I brought this up, the internet lore wouldn't quite hit the same as it does with Gen Z and millennials. But there's been this long-standing rumor that Glee's Leah Michele, if you know her as Rachel Berry, Leah Michele can't read. This is long-standing rumor that started. I don't know the origins. All I know is that all I've seen for the past 3 years is memes about Leah not being able to read. And some people have sort of jokingly confirmed it, where they're like, well, I never saw her reading scripts on set. So I feel like that has kind of fueled the fire a little bit, but she is ready to prove the haters wrong. She, in fact, is literate.
It's the most bizarre rumor about a celebrity. Like, it's so random. And the fact that it's lasted as long as it has, I don't blame her for, like, finally just tackling it head on in this podcast and putting the haters to rest.
At this point, it's just a funny ongoing joke. And I feel like it's been fueled by the fact that she has this reputation of being a bully. And so I think people kind of like taking shots at her because she has this reputation that's not, it's not a great reputation. A lot of her castmates haven't had great things to say about her. They have sort of painted this picture that she's a diva. There have even been some allegations that she might be a little racist, so not some great things coming from Leah Michele's haters and her ops. But on Jake Shane's podcast, she finally set the record straight that she, in fact, can read.
The same day that all came out, like, Donald Trump
said he was going to like punch John McCain in the face or something like that. It was 2015. And he said something like so wild. But what was trending online more was Lea Michele can't read. And Ryan Murphy called me and he was like, have you heard this rumor? And I was like, no, what's going on? And like, yeah, the fact that we are here all these years late. Give me the, I'm reading them.
I'm sick. I'm reading I'm them. Sick.
I need to memorize it. Jonathan is not here to read me this. Okay, ready? I placed first in my debate competition and qualified for nationals. What does this word say? No.
So at least she's having a good sense of humor about it. And her PR team, whoever set her up with Jake Shane, that was the right move. He's a really likable podcaster. And so putting those two together, I think is going to do really good things for her reputation. All right. Barry Keoghan says he was so nervous about meeting Ringo Starr, who he's playing in the Beatles biopic, that he said that he couldn't even look him in the eye.
Were you watching Ringo to see what you could absorb?
Yeah, I was, and I said it to him. And when I was talking to him, I couldn't look at him. I was nervous, like right now. But he's like, you know, he's like, you can look at me. And it was just sort of, again, it's you're playing Ringo Starr. It's my job is to observe and take in little kind of mannerisms and, you know, study. And but I wanted to know, I want to bring forward, like, you know, I want to humanize and yeah. bring feelings to it and, you know, not just sort of imitate. For sure. Yeah.
That, of course, was courtesy of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, so I was chewing on this as I read this story yesterday or this morning. When one of the greatest asks you to perform what they do in front of them, would you be too intimidated by the moment and not do it?
It would depend on who it is for me. But if it was somebody that I had like a personal admiration for, I would definitely be nervous. It would be rough.
I would be nervous, but I would do it because A, you'd want pointers. But at B, if they are the best at their crafts, he's asking you to play drums and you're like, I can't do that. I would say, I would absolutely say, okay, I'll give it a try.
Because you want to do it in front of them because they're going to be the ones to correct you if there's something that you need to do differently.
If Michael Jordan comes to you and says, hey, you want to play one-on-one, you doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Not I even mean, thinking
for
twice.
The story alone.
I
alone.
Have to do it.
I mean, you know you're going to get crushed, but at least you'll have a story.
He's getting a little older. I I got gout. That's what's going on.
Michael Jordan's not the only one getting older.
It's gout versus the goat.
That's the reason. That's the reason why
the
Michael Jordan's going to be you.
It's
because you're struggling with gout right now.
You must be
crazy. Okay.
That's my story, and I'm walking with it.
You are delusional. I don't know if you're walking. You're limping with
it. I'm walking with it. I can't run.
All right, we have a new pope, and he's American. I'll tell you what you can expect from his leadership on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions. Apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.